Hallelujah. Isaiah 61:1, stand with me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And let me stop right there for just a moment. I promise I'm not going to drag this out too far. But you need to understand who's standing behind this pulpit today. Amen. You need to understand that the words that are spoken are not just something that I've come to the conclusion of on my own. But what I'm going to speak to you today, you need to hear. And the words that I speak, you need to take them seriously. You need to hear them. Because I'm not just the average man when I stand behind this pulpit. When I step out from behind here and we're just talking about fishing, what kind of cowboy boots we like, and what we're going to do this week, I'm an average guy. But when I stand behind this pulpit, as any of these men stand behind this pulpit, there's an anointing that the Lord places on us. And that anointing is here today. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Everybody say, bind up.
Bind up.
To proclaim, that's to speak, to herald liberty to the captives. I've come with a message today that those that are captive need to hear. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. Don't tell me that this is not fitly joined together with your adult Bible lesson this morning. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning, preaching and proclaiming. Preaching and proclaiming. Would you set your Bible down? I feel one more time we need to pray. I want some spirits to be broken right now in this prayer. I want your voices to be lifted and the Lord to just minister over the next few moments as we pray and we lift our voices. I want you to bind evil spirits and cast them out, and I want you to loose the Spirit of God in this place. Pray with me right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we come before you today, God, and we accept the anointing. God, we accept the power of the Holy Ghost that is in this place. God, you have designed who would be here. God, you have designed who would hear this message. God, you have designed, God, the heart, God, that would receive this today. Lord, you are the answer, Lord, but the answer can lay dormant unless the heart that receives the answer, Lord, is opened up to the word today. Open our hearts today. I cast out every evil spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind every dark spirit in Jesus' name that would try to hinder you from doing your mighty work. Lord, and we loose the Spirit, the almighty power of God in this place. We loose the anointing, God. Let the oil, God, that was broken, Lord, open. Let it begin to flow in this place in the name of Jesus. Heal those that are broken. God, bind those, God, that need to be loosed. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise in this place. Come on, worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we receive your word in Jesus' name. You may be seated this morning. The message I've come with today is not a message that is complex. It's not a message that I feel like I even have to deliver very well, but there's such a power in the scripture, in the word that I just read to you today. The Lord has come today to try to get through to somebody that he is on your side, that there is a devil, there are dark spirits, there is a world, there is even our own flesh that is warring against what God is trying to do in this place today. Amen. But God has come to you today to reach out to those that are sick and tired of living in sin, tired of living and dealing with the darkness that's in their life, tired of living and dealing with the things that they can't seem to break away from. God has come today to show you the power of his word if you will simply receive that word today. Feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's a very important thing. There have been very few instances when I have stepped behind the pulpit that I have not felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I can tell you this much. Without it, it is a miserable place to be. I don't like doing what I do on my own. Amen. I have to have the Spirit and the anointing of Almighty God working through me. Amen. We must, as a church, have the power of God coursing through our services. We must have the anointing upon our lives. We must prepare ourselves for every service so that God can place His anointing upon us. Amen. The very Hebrew definition of the word anoint means to paint. Amen. When the anointing begins to flow, God can begin to paint a picture that you never dreamed that He would ever be able to paint. Amen. All He has to do is get you to relinquish the brush from your hand to His hand. Amen. You might have been painting a picture. You might have been trying to put something together, but it's not turned out the way that you thought it would turn out. The picture's a little crooked. The things aren't proportioned just correctly. And when you stand back, you say, you know, that's kind of resembles what I would want it to be, but everything's askew. Everything is off. Can I tell you this morning that God, if you will allow Him to have His hand upon your brush, He can begin to correct the mistakes. He can take your old canvas. He can take the picture of your life, and He can begin to anoint it, and He can begin to repaint it, and He can begin to touch it up, and He can make it into a masterpiece. But you must let Him anoint you. The word does the work that no man can do. It's the word that changes men's life. I've come to the conclusion that no amount of counseling with people can fix them. I've come to the conclusion that even it's not about the right song. It's not about the right message even. Amen. Those things may wrap us in. Those things may help us momentarily. But when it comes right down to it, it's the word that is anointed. When you begin to take that into your life, you must have the word, because the word can establish you in places that you could never be established before. God's not called me to preach to you a dismal message. I'm not here stepping on anybody's toes. That's not even what this is about. I'm here throwing out a lifeline to somebody that's tired of living the way that you've always been living and found out that it's not got you where you thought it was going to take you. I'm here with a message of hope, amen, to somebody that's just about ready to go under for the last time and you're never going to see daylight again. I'm here to preach to you that there is an answer to your dilemma, and it is found in the anointing of the Word of God as it goes forth in the midst of God's people. Praise God. Clap your hands to the Lord this morning. To coin a phrase that was just spoken just a few minutes ago by Brother Anglin, that's just life. I've heard it before. I've said it to people. We go through things. We get trampled on. Relationships turn sour. Amen. Jobs turn sour. Life turns sour. All kinds of things take place in our life that we wish that wouldn't. Amen. You think that I'm not touched by those things? You're sadly mistaken. I get the same kind of phone calls that everybody else gets. But one thing that I have found, I have put my trust, I have put my faith, I put my confidence in Jesus Christ, and I have found a friend in Jesus who's become everything to me. And when everything else has fallen apart in my life, that anointing holds me right where I should be. I love His word. Some here today that you've been misused and you've been crushed by things in your past, and they've haunted you until this day. You woke up this morning feeling defeated by the things that have haunted you from your past. I don't know, maybe some of you have had relationships where you've been abused. Maybe some different things have taken place in your life. Maybe you self-abused. Maybe there were some things that you did that if you could take it back, you would, but time has gone by and it's too late. You can't change the past. But I'll tell you, I brought you to somebody that can change your future today. I've not brought you to a message that's dismal, but I'm bringing you a message of hope and trust today. It's found in Jesus Christ. It's time to bind up the broken heart. Let it begin to mend today. One of the definitions of bind means to wrap around. Some of us are untouchable, because we don't want God within a 50-mile radius of us. We want it to be fixed, but we don't want to relinquish the authority in our life to the one who can't fix it. But we must allow, if God is going to mend the wounds, we must allow Him to wrap Himself around those who are in pain and to comfort those who are crushed. Sometimes the binding is not a comfortable thing. I remember being in high school and we were goofing around one lunch hour period, and there's four of us guys that were wrestling around on the wrestling mats out in the weight room, and we were just goofing off, just having fun, had 10 minutes to kill. And I began to wrestle with one particular guy, and we were throwing each other around on the mat, and we both got up and locked into each other. And next thing I knew, the two other goofballs that were sitting off to the side, they both jumped on us, and all four of us went to the ground. When we went to the ground, my hand was underneath my stomach like this, and I tried to catch myself, and I heard my wrist snap like a shotgun going off. I said, "Get up! I think I broke my wrist." And when I got up and my wrist looked like a pretzel, you know, it was sticking out all different ways, I said, "Yep, it's broken." Kind of went sick to my stomach just a little bit. Walked myself over to the principal's office, and he said, "Okay, we'll get you to the hospital." The principal threw me in his car and took me down to the hospital there in our little local town. And they made me sit there for about an hour before they told me, "We can't do anything for you. We're scared about the way you've broken it. We think it could have been jammed up into the growth center of your hand. We don't want your hand to not grow right. We're going to send you down to a specialist down in Carbondale." And so my father comes and picks me up, and they take me all the way down to Carbondale, and I go see the specialist, and he's looking at it, and then next thing I know, he's like, "Well, we can repair it, and we can do one of two things. We can just snap it back into place." He said, "We can do that pretty quick, or we can put you out." By this time, 5 hours had gone by. I had sweat pouring out of my face. I was sitting there in pain, man. I looked at it, and like, this is disgusting looking. We need to get this thing fixed. And the shock was wearing off, and the pain was setting in a major way. And I thought, man, I don't know. It's hurting so bad right now that I'm breaking out in a sweat. I don't know if I can handle if they just said it. I can't take any more pain. And I thought, you know, being put out right about now sounds like a great idea. And I looked at my dad and I said, "Dad, you know, what do you think I ought to do?" And he said, "Just let him set it. We've been here too long. Let's go. Let's get this over with. They put you out, that's gonna take more time." And I he didn't say it, but I know what was going through his mind. That's money. If they put you out, that's gonna cost me more money. Let's get this over. Let's get you home. So I manned up and I said, "All right, Dad, whatever you say." And that doctor laid me down on that gurney there, and he began to massage that arm a little bit. And he brought a couple of the nurses and they were holding me down. That was my first indication, this ain't going to feel good. And that doctor, he was kind of looking around, like just pretending like he was just, you know, kind of trying to figure out, well, the best way to do it. You know how they do. And all of a sudden, he just went boop and snapped that thing, and it cracked. And I screamed like a little girl, that was it. It was over with. He said, "We got it." I said, "You better have got it, because you're never doing that to me again." Then they began to put the bindings on it, the cast. You know, sometimes bindings can be very uncomfortable. But if you want it to grow right, if you want it to heal right, if you want it to set right and begin to mend correctly, sometimes bindings are a necessary thing in order for proper healing to take place. We don't like bindings. And they began to put that binding around that arm. And he said, "I think a couple Tylenol ought to do it." And I paced the floor the whole entire night with my hand up in the air. I'm like, I just wanted to like, go break that doctor's arm and say, "I think a couple Tylenol ought to do it for you, doc." It hurt so bad. And it made it even worse that I couldn't really touch it. You know how to, I wanted to be able to touch it, but the bindings were on there. I couldn't get to it for weeks. And then, you know, the itching starts setting in where you get the old clothes hanger and you go up and you're like, oh. You just shiver with glee when you finally can reach that spot again. Finally, the day comes and they take the bindings off, and you look at this arm compared to this arm, and it's like, man, I thought this arm was little. This arm is really little. But the bindings that the Lord wants to put, you've got to allow Him to bind you up before you can begin to mend. You've got to allow Him to compress you sometimes. You've got to allow Him to get you in a place where it's just you and Him. And it may not be the most comfortable place in your life, but I promise you this, if you'll let Him bind you up, your wound will begin to mend. You'll begin to grow straight again. You'll begin to have things in your life that you never could have again. You can't use that arm anyway. You can't use that life anyway, so might as well let God begin to put Himself around you and hold you tight and calm you down and get your fears into check so that God can begin to bind your wounds. For those of you that are held captive, you know who you are today. You thought you've overcome it, only to find out that in a moment of weakness, you're right back in the same spot. You felt like you've made headway when all of a sudden things have happened and you're right back in the same old prison cell. The Lord has set you free. You were so happy, but circumstances come in your life and you wind up back in the same jailhouse. Amen. I've come to tell you that your cell door is coming open today. Amen. God can deliver you completely if you'll just let Him bind you up. If you'll let Him throw open that prison door cell of your life. God does not want you confined to the things of this world. God has come to set the captive free today. And if you're captive in something, some addiction, some lifestyle, God wants you free of that, and the only way that you can be free is through Him.
Yes.
Let me say this though. Paul, he's in a prison cell. And the people are praying. The church is praying, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? There's a prayer meeting going on. And all of a sudden, Paul's sitting there. He's about half asleep when all of a sudden an angel jabs him in the side and says, "Get up. I'm going to get you out of here." Paul's like, "The doors are locked." He said, "Nuh-uh, not anymore." And Paul gets up and the door unlocks and he walks through. Then he walks through and another door unlocks and he walks out into total freedom. Amen. The only door that God didn't unlock for him was the door of the church house where the people were praying. There's some things that the church has got to be responsible for. And God help us if we ever get to the place where people have come so far and God has delivered them to our doorstep and our own doors remain locked and closed. I want to say to you this morning, if you've been held captive and God has released your doors and unlocked your doors, you come to a church today that's going to throw the door wide open and say, "Come on in. We've been praying for this day. Come on in. God wants to deliver you." Man, there's one door that the church has to open. The rest God will take care of. What we have to have is a revival in us as individuals to take place. If we get the right evangelist in, man, if we could just get Brother Haney. If we could just get Jerry Jones, it'd really be cool if we get Brother Haney. He's been passed away for about 2 years now. Well, that'd be awesome, man. I give Lynn the floor to you, Brother Haney. Have had it. Jerry Jones, if he'd just come preach, man, I get so sick and tired of hearing Brother Rice preach all the time. Guess what? I get sick and tired of hearing me preach too. I'll tell you what will make that go away is if we get into a place of individual revival, it won't matter who's behind the pulpit. It won't matter how good the sermon is. Amen. There's an anointing that will come upon this place and it won't matter what kind of preaching is taking place. Amen. As long as it's the truth, it won't matter who's delivering it. You'll be in a place of revival. There won't be anything that will be able to stop you from serving God. Amen. I'm so tired of all the excuses of why I can't serve God. I'm telling you this much right now. Nothing can separate me from the love of God except for me. And I don't plan on being separated from God's love. I'm come to declare something to you this morning, if you'll make up in your mind to serve the Lord, amen, no addiction will stop you. No pornography will stop you. No marital trouble will stop you. If you'll just make up in your mind, God first in everything I do, and I'm not going to stop until I feel the anointing, the Shekinah glory fall down upon me in my house of prayer. Amen. God will move in your life, and God will bind your wounds, and God will set your captives free. Takes a hunger. It just takes a hunger. Just takes a hunger. God, do your work in me. It takes such a hunger to see something from Him. We live in a world of distractions. Somebody put on Facebook the other day. I laughed at it. He's actually a distant relative of mine. He said, I'm inviting a whole crowd of people over to the house tomorrow night for a party so we can all sit around and stare down at our phones. Yeah. Yeah, this is today's society. Got 100 people around, all 10 of our best friends, and we got our noses down our phone. Yeah, yeah. We're talking to 30 people that are not within 1,000 miles of us and ignoring the people that are sitting right next to us. Let me make a suggestion to you. If you want revival in your life, find a prayer closet, get in a place of prayer, and don't take your phone with you. The world will still revolve to your finished praying. If it's that bad of news, it won't matter anyway. And the best thing that you could be doing is be praying in the first place. Cut out the distractions. Well, that was for free. I won't even charge you for that little tidbit right there. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You ever had a hunger that just nothing else would cure? I just like, what about this? We got this in the refrigerator, and we got that, and you know, it's like, none of that sounds good. The only thing that sounds good to me is, I can't remember which child it was, but it was Memorial Hospital. My wife had just got done giving birth, and you know, they wouldn't let her eat before, so she was hungry. She was hungry for something. And I said, you know what? I'll go down and get you something. What do you want? You want a hamburger? You want, you know, grilled cheese? You want some soup, something kind of lighter? She said, no, I tell you, the only thing that sounds good to me, get me some nachos and cheese covered with jalapenos. I said, you're kidding me. Hey, if she can give birth, then I say she deserves to eat whatever she wants to. If nachos and cheese with jalapenos all over it sounds good, that's what the woman want that just gave birth to that 8-pound child. Amen. I watched her. She dug her claws into my hands, and she made me scream in as much pain as, well, maybe not as much pain, but I thought I was. You know, there's a woman's pain, and there's a guy's pain, and we think our pain compared to theirs is probably about right here. Give me some nachos and cheese. There's just some things that just, you feel like, I've got to have that. For me, it's tropical snow. When nothing else sounds good, I want one of those tropical snows. And all the kids, they laugh at me because I get one called the giraffe. You know what the giraffe is? I know you do because I finally talked you into trying it, and he loves it too. It's root beer on one side and banana on the other. Yeah. Oh, just try it. Oh, ye of little faith. I dare you to try one. If you try one, and if you don't like it, I'll pay for it. Okay. There's just sometimes when nothing else sounds good, and it's especially when you're just slightly thirsty, and I've been thirsty before and mentioned that to my wife, and that's when tropical snow sounds so good to me. She says, do you want to stop by here and get a bottle of water? Or you want to, you know, pick up a soda or something like that if you're that thirsty? I'm like, no, you'll ruin the whole experience of the tropical snow. I need to be thirsty for them to taste super, super good to me. Let me tell you something this morning. When you get into a place where you are in your life where nothing else will satisfy you but a touch from God, quit trying to satisfy yourself with everything else. There's nothing that's going to replace the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life. You've got to have God. You've got to have God. You can't be satisfied with anything else. Something else may even make what you thought was so good not taste so good anymore. Let me tell you, when God is the only answer, just go to God. He's going to give you everything that you need. So, here's the problem. Here's the situation that we get ourselves into. We're sitting here now, and folks, there's people in here that are like, you know what, that's me. I want what he's talking about. I just don't know how to get there. And more than that, I'm not sure if I understand what it takes to get there and if I'm willing to make the commitment to get there. What's this going to cost me? What's this going to cost me to get into this realm that Brother Rice is talking about this morning? Well, let me answer that with the word. The Bible says what he's going to give to those that come before him. He said, come on, bring me your ashes. What do you got that you can give God this morning? Well, what is it that you want to give him? You want to give him your problems. You want to give him, you know, the addiction. You want to give him the bad experience. You want to give him the abuse. You want to give him the fear. You want to, all those things are ashes from our life. And the Lord said, if you bring me your ashes, he said, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. We're so scared to give up something that is so worthless. We hang on to those things because they're our memories. And they help us feel justified about feeling the way that we do. And we know that if we give up those ashes, that we won't be able to hang on to that bitterness or that anger that makes us feel sometimes like we're in the right when really being right doesn't matter on this. He said, I'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. Oh, you may still go to your prayer closet and the tears may still flow down your face, but they won't be tears of mourning. They'll be tears of joy. My wife and I hopped in the vehicle last night. We drove out to the shooting complex. We were watching as the sun was going down. We just wanted a view of it. There were rays of light, shafts of light shooting up from behind the clouds. It was absolutely gorgeous. So I sat there, I didn't say much, but there was such a magnificent feeling of joy that came and just like filled up the inside of me as I watched that. I felt like, God, even though you've put that beautiful sunset out there, not everybody's even paying attention to it. Not everybody is seeing what I'm seeing. The Lord does the same thing in every service. He'll reach out, but not everybody sees it the same way because not everybody's paying attention. I just began to thank the Lord. Some things have gone haywire in my life in the past. I've shed my tears of mourning. I've dealt with loss, disappointment, frustration. I've watched as people that I trusted turn their backs and walked away from the Lord. I've seen just about everything there is to see. And yet here I stand watching your beautiful creation, God, as you paint me a picture. And I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost come on me as I sat there and watched that sun begin to set. The Lord is looking to to trade you for some things today. Would you stand? There's a purpose behind his plan, and that is that you might be called trees of righteousness, that the Lord might be glorified. So why is it that you believe Brother Rice in modest dress? Why is it that your ladies don't cut their hair? Why is it that they wear women's attire? Why is it, Brother Rice, that you do the things you do? Why is it you don't go certain places that you go? I'll tell you why. It's because the Lord planted something in me a long time ago, and there's more to this life than just living it for myself. I want to be planted so that I can grow to be a tree of righteousness to bring glory, not to myself. It's so empty. It's never satisfied when you try to do things that bring glory to yourself. It's like feeding a monster that is never going to be full. But when we began to live a life of righteousness so that he might be glorified, there's something so fulfilling about that. That's why it's not hard for me. That's why I don't look at it as being something that I'm forced to do. Because everything that I've done on my own is nothing but ashes. Good to be thrown out and carried away by the wind. But God took the ashes. God took the ashes from my life. He took the ashes from that kid that had just come off of a weekend binge. He took the ashes of a life that was blowing in the wind. He took the ashes of a messed up young man that was going nowhere, and he began to shape it and plant something inside of it that would begin to grow and grow and grow to where God could get glory from. So you're telling me nobody ever tried to chop down what was growing in your life? You better believe they did. I went to high school just like the rest of y'all did. And I took the jokes. I took the jabs, and I didn't like any of it just like you don't. But let me tell you something. I'm not about to let this world influence me when God has called me to influence it. Not for the trade he gave me. Is there anybody here today? You felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Some of you might want to make your way up to the front right now. Others, you may want to lift your hands right where you're at. But I wonder if some of our church would begin to look around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if you would begin to just raise your hands. And some of you, if you'd come to the front right now. The Lord wants to change something inside of you. You feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. You feel it all over you, but you've not been willing to make the trade just yet. And God is saying, if you'll come, he said, I will give you beauty for your ashes. Why don't you come and give me everything that's just the leftovers of everything that's been burnt in your life? Amen. Ashes come from nothing, from something that's been burnt up, from something that's been destroyed. Amen. There might have been some good things in your life that you saw destroyed in your life. Maybe some things happened to you that you wish would have never happened, and they've left you holding nothing but ashes. Well, God says, bring your ashes to me this morning, and I'll greatly take them and turn them into something so beautiful that you'll never dream that it came from the ashes of your life. There will be no begging on my part today. The rest is in your hands. I felt the anointing in this place. The power of God is here to deliver. But if you choose to hold on to your ashes, if you choose to value your confinement, If you choose to stay held captive, there's nothing that I or anyone else can do for you. But if you want, God can set you free today. Would you come as they began to sing?